federal community to order. Please stand for the pledge.
All right, if everybody can stand and face the flag, hand over heart, I'm ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Oh, that's me. Can we have roll call?
Vice President Altamirano,
Here.
President Leija,
Here.
Director Skrbellis,
Here.
Director Traber,
Present.
Director Murphy.
Here.
Okay, on to item four, public comments. Have we received any requests for public comment?
No.
No? Okay. On to the consent calendar.
I'd like to pull the salaries, expenses, and transfers and item E, master service agreement for electrical services.
E and E will be moved. We have a motion to approve the remaining items.
I'll move to approve items A, B, and D.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second.
A, B, C, and D. That is not even.
Okay. All in favor?
I wish I.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item six, correspondence and related information. And I believe there's nothing.
No, nothing including sensible packet.
Okay, on to item seven, reports. And that would be C, the general manager and staff reports.
Correct. So item 7C, it's had a number of different I guess updates, you can call them. First, before we get to that, Melissa.
Yoo-hoo.
All right, a couple of upcoming events. We have the Veterans Memorial Wall. Director Lady, I can probably talk more to that, but that's the not this Saturday, next Saturday, May 16th at 10 a.m. That's hosted by JARPD. And then unfortunately on the same day we have the Hooper Valley JVOC open house on 5/16 as well. Do you have one of those? I think it's at 9:30.
Yes.
9:30. All right. Third update. So LAFCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, I got their election results for the special district member of the Western Region. Unfortunately, Director Altamirano was not successful this time around. It was Stephen Corona of Eastern Municipal Water District. So I just wanted to report that out to the board. All right, fourth. All right, so last Thursday, Director Skrbellis and I had the opportunity to do a Met facility inspection tour. So we went to the Skinner
Skinner.
treatment plant down there in Temecula, Winchester area. So there's a couple of pictures. So we weren't supposed to take a picture in that room, but we did. I didn't know it after the fact. So that this has been like creating, I guess, what's called ozone, which is a disinfection. So you can see the ice built up around the pipelines. So I just, I don't know. I don't see that very often. So I thought that was
Yeah,
pretty
we're crazy.
interesting.
We've seen that.
Okay, you can go forward. Yeah, so this is where they create the ozone. So it's different than, chlorine, which is what we use for disinfection. This is ozone. So they obviously produce on a mass scale. Their operators are what who kind of guided the tour. These are just large scale diameter pipes. Keep on going forward. Yeah, that's me. This is what do they call this again? So
It's
this is
like
like
a
the
holding,
spill. This is like
yeah,
the
like a spillway.
spillway
That's all
before it kind of
cement.
spills over to a couple of different conveyance systems, some going down to San Diego County. This is
Diamond Lake.
that's Diamond Valley Lake. Yes. Keep going forward. And that is, oh, okay. This is the what is that? The inlet outlet facility. You can't see it now. We're starting at the top of it. But this lake goes down 200 feet. And what this is like a concrete structure that goes down 200 feet. I think we have a couple of pictures when we're inside it. That's not 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 it. Keep going. That is it. Okay, go back.
Yeah.
Right? Is that it? That's
Yeah.
inside. So there's multiple like layers, and they have like these pipes that go across, and it's basically the water going from the lake through for a reason. And
So
that's
that tower that you're standing on above the water, it opens gates at different levels and allows you to pull different water quality from different levels. If the lake's turning over and the bad stuff's all on the top, then you can suck from the bottom, or likewise, or like vice versa.
Oh, well, thank you. That's that. And that was that. This is so that was that. That was basically a full day event. It was hosted by Met in conjunction with Western Water. So I had made mention of it a couple of months ago if anybody's interested, but they have various inspection trips over the course of the years. I think kind of all of the directors, I guess, on this side of the dais have been on one of those one way or another, whether it's been the State Water Project or Colorado River. So, as we get invited to these, I always kind of bring them to the board's attention. And if you ever want to be on that guest list, you let me know and I'll get you signed up. So, all right. This morning was a mayor's prayer breakfast. We've kind of chatted about it. This is an annual thing that's hosted by I guess the Chamber of Commerce, but in conjunction with the City Council of Hoopa Valley. So that was this morning. No pictures to share from that as it was this morning. I
Yeah.
you know I didn't, I'm sorry.
You want me to send you my phone?
There's another event. So the Special Districts Association of Riverside County is having their quarterly lunch. I sent an email to the board yesterday about that. That's at the Hooper Community Center. So it's local to us. I think the last time they did it was kind of out more east. So that's 5/20. So May 20th at 12 o'clock. Let me know if you're interested. And then the last update. So Ina Arbuckle Elementary School, the school immediately to our east here, they had a college and career day. And as the board knows, we are doing more outreach in the local community, and having Ina Arbuckle in our backyard is something that we definitely want to prioritize. So they put together a little 1 minute video kind of highlighting their college and career day. And Rubidoux is prominently displayed in that. So we wanted to play it tonight.
First time that we have started from the we share this with her.
Let's see. That's okay. Unfortunately, none of them sent the water. All right. Thanks, Melissa. All right, that concludes my manager's stuff. Sorry about that. We had no other pictures to share, right? Okay. That concludes my updates for
Thank
item
you for that.
7C.
I know my daughter came home really excited and happy because, I mean, my other daughters have gone to that school. We've never seen the fire department there or any so many more friends and agencies part of their career fair. So that was really cool, especially knowing that we're right here next door. Our fire department's right here. So it was really cool to see everybody showing up. I even heard the fire truck getting there and I'm calling the school, like, is everything okay? They're like, yeah, it's career day. I'm like, okay. Okay, goodbye. But thank you guys for showing up and making that effort. The kids really enjoy it.
Great.
Okay, object committee reports.
Okay, two committee reports to report out on. So obviously, the first one preceding this regular board meeting was our budget workshop three. At that workshop, we combined all of the budgets presented from budget workshop one and budget workshop two in a comprehensive presentation by staff.
So we got a number of different questions from members of the board, and then the action from that was to bring the final budget for the for adoption at the May 21st board meeting. And then the second thing, and this is actually brought to my attention by Director Leja, so thank you. So there was a RAC meeting a couple of weeks ago on April 23rd. I have the agenda here. There's a number of different things discussed. So just to highlight the events of that meeting. So there was four reconciliations that finally came to a conclusion. So fiscal years 21 through 22 through fiscal years 24, 25, those are four separate fiscal years. Those have now been reconciled and approved by RAC. I just wanted to highlight the efforts taken to kind of get to this point. So when these fiscal years were first presented to us, City of Riverside wanted us to contribute $270,000 to clear up those 4 years. So with all the extra work that we've done through the TAC and through the RAC and then hiring this financial consultant and getting them to fix their reconciliations, we're only going to pay Riverside $40,000,
wow.
Right? So $230,000 difference based upon the work from the partner agencies to try to get Riverside to look at their reconciliations and realize where they had their deficiencies. So $40,000 over 4 years, about $10,000 a year. So that was on the agenda. The second thing, we got an update of fiscal year 25-26, and we'll anticipate that falling. And then the third thing, fiscal year 26-27. So during this whole reconciliation process, Riverside hasn't adjusted what they charge us per million gallons of treatment. So part of this agenda was to adjust that number to something that they think is reasonable to recover their cost. So they had come up with the number $2,930 per million gallon. We didn't like that. We thought a more appropriate number was somewhere in between what's being charged now and their number, because Riverside historically has kind of been all over the place. So we got them to accept an amount of $2,705, so $225 less per million gallon. So that's just what we're going to get billed, right? We'll continuously go through this reconciliation process. But I mean, speaking from an accounting background, I would rather underpay slightly and have those monies in our banks over a period of 12 months or even 24 months, depending on how long this reconciliation goes, as opposed to overpaying and then Riverside is earning interest on those monies. So that's kind of my philosophy on that.
What was the number again per million gallon?
That we agreed to?
Yeah.
2705. The fourth thing, so if you look at the detailed budget provided by RAC, they have the total treatment charges, and there's what's called like an allocation percentage. And then you get to the partner treatment charges, and then that works its way down, and that's how you determine what the million gallon charge is. So those allocation percentages have not been adjusted since 2014. We worked in analysis or a collaborative analysis, not only with Riverside, but the other partner agencies. So those are now modified going forward. The fiscal impact is not really that significant. I ran an analysis of the new allocation percentages compared to the old allocation percentages from the most recently completed fiscal year, 24-25, and it's a difference of about $20,000. So not significant. And then lastly, what Riverside traditionally does is they have a slide that talks about, you know, what they call compliance or plant-wide compliance, and it talks about TDS and TIN and ammonia. So that was the highlight of the RAC meeting. It was the first RAC meeting that we had had in, I guess, 15 months. March of 25 was the last time we had a RAC meeting. But I anticipate now that we're through this reconciliation process going back 4 fiscal years, we will meet on a more regular basis.
And I would just like to commend Mr. Lattisa. He was instrumental in identifying those reconciliation errors and put a lot of effort into getting that corrected. So not only for us, but for the other agencies involved. So thank you.
Yeah, we did see those emails back and forth. Yeah. We saw that. Thank you.
That concludes committee reports.
Okay. And then item E, We do not have the student liaison at present, but you wanted to.
Yeah, so just briefly, so I got so our student liaison, he's obviously graduating this year. So what we think is going to happen 2 weeks from today, he's going to come in and give his last report, and then the baton will be passed to our student liaison for next school year. So we can anticipate that 2 weeks from today on May 21st.
Thank you. Okay, on to item 8, action and discussion items, where we will first hear the two pulled items from consent. Item B, that was the request of Director Murphy.
So the first item is 5B, that's the salaries, expenses, and transfers. So for Minuteman, we had 238 late notices sent out. And then there's Core Main, that's where we buy our water meters. So that expenditure is 75,000, and we bought meters at a price of around $250 per meter. So it's around 250 meters or so, something like that. But it's around three, it's roughly around 300. Those were the two things in that I wanted to point out, that we're currently buying meters, roughly 500 per year, and they cost $250 each. With that, I'll go ahead and move for approval of the salaries, expenses, and transfers.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second? Second.
See.
And that was Director
See you. See you.
Morongo. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The opposed? Okay. Moving on to item 5E.
Can we get a staff report on this?
Sure. So for the consideration to approve master service agreement for electrical services with Zamora Industrial. So through the treatment plant, the Smith treatment plant upgrade process, we've been throwing curveballs left and right. And right there every time has been our SCADA consultant, ESTEC, that we have a master service agreement, and Zamora Electric. And they've been able to, ride this river with us to almost, we're up at completion now almost, and the plant's getting ready to start up under its new operating scenarios. And with that, we've also taken them to some of our other sites, and they've helped us walk through some of our other issues that we're having, from large issues to small issues, from running large wires to very technical instrumentation installs. They have the capability to do it all. They're very local and responsive. They've answered the phone call in the middle of the night, and they're right here. With all those qualifications, we would like to institute a master service agreement with Zamora Electric for a lot of our planned electrical work that's going to be going on. There's going to be a significant amount of instrumentation work and upgrades to our electrical system with the new SCADA system coming in this year. So with that, instead of having to go out and get different electrical contractors all the time that are not familiar with the scope of work and the breadth of work that we're working with, we'd like to have somebody that specializes exactly what we do and stick with them. That's what this is for. So the recommendation would be to authorize general manager to execute a master service agreement with Zamora Industrial for electrical services, and authorize the general manager or their designee to issue task orders under the agreement in accordance with the district's procurement policy within the approved budget authority.
I had a few questions. We had some material come up missing, around 50 grand. Who was the electrical contractor when that material came up missing?
Lisa Mora.
I'm going to read a portion of this staff handout. It's the third page. It's the third paragraph. I'm going to read the first sentence. In accordance with the district procurement policy, section 1040.21, sole and single source purchases, a vendor may be selected without a competitive process when they are uniquely qualified to provide the product or service. Was Zamora doing work for us a few years back, like 3 or 4 years ago?
No.
Who are we using that?
You, for a lot of the electrical work that's been done around the district, we've been using Center Electric out of Norco for a lot of it.
So what you're saying is that what this sentence is saying is that Zamora is uniquely qualified, and what you're saying is that Center Electric, who we've been using for more than a decade, is not qualified.
That's absolutely what I'm saying.
Okay.
Any further questions? Yeah. May we have a motion to approve?
So good.
Also.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I am opposed.
Okay. Motion passes 4-1. And with that, we move on to item 8A. What's your
All right, Kirk will do item 8A and 8B.
So do the presentation is 8A and 8B combined, but for formality purposes, we need to vote on them separately. We need to do separate public hearings for each of them. So then we'll go through like that process. But you kind of already kind of know where this is going because we've talked about it during our budget workshops and we talked about it in our past board meetings as far as use this space mark. So obviously we've talked about in our workshops about the budget and in the budget, which we just had the workshop and our final workshop on, which is going to hopefully approve the proposed budget at our next board meeting on May 21st, is our rate revenues, right? So, and specifically, we're talking about our water and our sewer rate revenues. And this is just kind of a historical slide that I've brought up in the past. But for the purpose of our meeting and anybody who's here today, we'll kind of go over this slide in general. In 2022, we started to prepare a 5-year water and sewer, like wastewater cost of service study. So with that, we proposed a document that kind of outlined what our rate strategy should be for the next subsequent 5 years. And that was eventually approved on on December 15th, I believe. And so then it was approved and we kind of formally adopted basically what would be kind of a ideal strategic plan of what we thought at that point in time of what we should kind of do with our rates. And that packet detailed out certain strategies, certain data, and certain reserve levels that we had at that point in time, and certain goals that we were hoping to have, and structured kind of a rate plan to go and achieve those goals or try and improve and get closer to those goals. So that's kind of what of a, and you'll see this is a common factor of what utilities do. They do these rate studies and it kind of plans out the next 5 years for them, and they kind of follow along the strategies, and then they'll reevaluate after for the 5th year, which we're almost at that process of redoing another cost of service study to see what we're going to do, hopefully for the next 5 years subsequent to this. So go ahead. I can go to the next one too. So this one, you've seen this slide many times now, right? What we've gone through, but this is kind of the rate structure of the fixed charges that we have for water and how we initially started for the 1st year of the rate plan. And then the highlighted in the red box would be potentially where we go with the approved adoption of the new rates, would be the rates that we'd have for those fixed charges for water. If you go to the next one, then this would be kind of the variable rates for water as well, which shows kind of how tier one, tier two, tier three occurs for charges. So you would have your fixed charge for your meter, and then you would have a variable charge for how much water you used. And depending on how many units you used, we have different calibrated rates for those thresholds in which you pass, or if you're a single family residence, or if you're multifamily, or if you're non-residential, we have certain rate structure set up for those categories. The combined rate increase proposed for water is about 5.5%. Go ahead. Same thing for wastewater, for sewer. It's the same strategy. The increase for sewer was a little bit higher at 7%. And so this is kind of the rate structure there of the fixed charges, and then also a variable rate for like non-residential customers as well. So then this just to remind you, this one is 7%, and then the water is 5.5%. This graph kind of shows, I don't know if you guys can see it completely, so I'll just go read up there for you. I tried to do based on what you all have kind of liked in the past is a little bit of bar graph. This just shows water and sewer rates. And so what I did is I went on West Valley, Cucamonga Valley, Riverside, JCSD, Corona, Norco, Ontario, and Western Municipal. And then I have RCSD, our current rate structure, and our proposed rate structure on what a utility bill would be for someone with about 19 units used a month. And so this is kind of where we would fall at as far as current and proposed compared to some of our local agencies, our neighbors. West Valley only does water, so they only have the water portion. The blue part of the bar graph shows what the water section would be, the water utility, and the orange part would be what the sewer collection would be and kind of the combined totals. The only one on here that I'm really not quite sure about is Riverside. And I thought I was savvy on the internet, but I cannot find what they post for sewer rates on their website, and they don't make it very friendly to find it. So I don't know if that's the case, but this is the only one. They've historically always been low on our schedules. And a lot of these cost of service studies, if you do get interested and go look at them, Western has, I think, the most recent one that they did, and that was in 2025. Norco, I believe, did one in 2024. And I think JCSD was also in 2024. But they take a lot of the neighbor agencies and their rate structures, and they usually throw those into the cost of service study so they can see and compare and what other people are charging and see the kind of strategies. Also, some of these strategies that I did in this map include, I don't know if you're familiar with budgeted tiered structures, but some organizations will actually give you an allotted budget for indoor usage. They will give you an allotted budget for outdoor usage. And once you exceed those combined, you go into an inefficient category or like a very like inefficient tier where the rate structure either goes up by like $1 or for $2 based on however many units you're using. So with those ones, each household can technically be different depending on the indoor budget. I believe is most commonly like one per how many people are in that household times, I believe, 55 gallons, depending on that entity's I guess what their methodology is, and then they'll divide that by how many days are in that billing period, and they'll come up with a budget of how many units that is. And then also, I believe, depending on how technical we get, they try and estimate much outdoor landscape they have, or how much outdoor watering they're going to need, and then they'll do a budget based on that square footage, I believe. So there's certain calculations if you're getting interested in that. But for those entities that have that structure, I had to kind of guess. So I kind of put everything in tier one and tier two, and I did not put them in any sort of inefficient category because I don't want to be more on the higher side unintentionally. So this is kind of where we are right now, and this is kind of where we go in the future with, again, 19 units. So in the cost of service studies, I see some organizations use strategies around 17 units. I see some use as high as 21. So I kind of went somewhere in the middle. But that's just kind of where our rate comparison goes as far as that goes. But that's just, again, water and sewer doesn't include trash because some of these utilities might not have trash, and it's hard to compare because we're community services district, which is not the most common. So this is our proposed timeline. So today would be the we need to have, so as far as doing this, we need to have a first and second reading of the ordinance and have them no more than 2 weeks apart. We need to have a public hearing with a 10-day notice period. And so what we've done is we've actually posted 10 days previous to this in the Press Enterprise on the website. It's posted on the front window, the back window. We have the ordinances available at the front counter. Those were posted 10 days in advance, and then it requires a 30-day delayed effective date. So that's why we would do first hearing today. If we move forward, we'll do second hearing and approval vote on the 21st. Then the 30-day notice would then the 30-day effective delay would happen, and then we'd establish it on July 1st. which is a little more than 30 days, obviously. But for today's meeting, this is the first ordinance reading and a public hearing. So that's what we do in the agenda, though. We waive like the actual just reading of the whole ordinance, but in your packet is a draft of the ordinance and how it stands. And then so then today, what the goal would be, obviously, to do these separate because they are separate public hearings and approvals and votes. So we'll do, I believe the water is the wastewater, I believe, is the first agenda item as DM 2026-33. So we would do the wastewater vote first in the public hearing. There would be deliberation by the board. To date, we have not received any written, oral, any communications as far as from the public for the public hearing today. We haven't received anything, and that's as of probably 2 o'clock today. We haven't received any public protests, any comments regarding the notice or the rate increase. And so it is staff's suggestion to move forward with the rate increases for water and sewer. And then so with that, I would say maybe Director Leja, President Leja, that we move forward with starting the public hearing for the sewer wastewater. Open it up. If we have any comments, then they'll be listened to. And then if we have no comments, then we can close the public hearing, have any deliberation between the board, and then the board would then vote to move forward and go to the second reading on the 21st.
Okay. So at this time, we will open the public hearing for...
And that would be for Ordinance 2026-144.
Ordinance 2026-144.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, so public hearing is now open. Seeing nobody, we can close the public hearing. Okay, and at this time then, does the board have any questions or comments? Okay. There's no action on this then, right, other than moving it on to the next stage?
No, well, yeah, that would be the action. So to schedule the second reading for May 21st, 2026.
And is that a motion that has to be made then?
Yes.
Okay. A motion for that?
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I am opposed.
Okay, motion passes 4-1. Okay, and with that, we will move to item 8B, and that is the public hearing for 2026-145, the ordinance number.
Same concept, right? Same process. Open.
So there's no more comments.
No, everything's the slides were all together.
Okay. So with that, we've opened the public hearing. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. And again, any
questions?
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye. Anybody opposed?
I am opposed.
Okay, motion passes 4-1. Okay, that ends the public hearings. And with that, then we move to item 8C, distribution for review and discussion of updates to the policy of the employee handbook.
All right, Melissa's going to give that staff report.
Okay. DM 2026-35, distribution for review and discussion, consider updates to certain policies of the RCSD employee handbook. So, background notes. The employee handbook serves as a user-friendly resource for employees. It provides general information on compensation, benefits, policies, relevant state and federal laws. It supplements but does not replace the MOU with the union, LIUNA. The last full update of the handbook was June 17th of 2021, And since then, we've had additional updates to reflect state law, correct formatting issues, and adjust operational needs. And those changes have been listed in the DM. So for 2026, the proposed updates provided by legal, the Legal Counsel, they recommended the following policies based on new state law and regulations: policy number 2430, holidays, and policy number 2440, rights of victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. In addition to the legal updates, staff conducted a comprehensive review of the handbook and had minor revisions that included grammar corrections, formatting updates, and date fixes. In addition to those, we had a few changes to policy 2200, dress code and personal standards, to reflect the current district practice, and updates to policy number 2520, drug and alcohol testing for safety-sensitive employees. This was to update for consistency with the current job classifications. On April 30th, 2026, district staff distributed proposed revisions to the union and district stewards. They were asked to submit comments by May 13th. This timeline allows staff to consolidate input and conduct a thorough final review for formal consideration of the approval on May 21st by the board. For budget consideration, the district incurs routine annual costs for labor council review and employee handbook updates. All the work is done with the existing staffing levels. These services are pre-budgeted each fiscal year, and the current revisions are fully covered within the approved budget. For the board, we attached a redline version of the proposed employee handbook policy revisions and a clean version of the revisions as well. And it is a recommendation to review the proposed changes of the RCSD employee handbook, directly comments to Brian, the general manager, no later than Wednesday, May 13th, in advance of the anticipated board consideration and potential adoption of the next regularly scheduled board meeting on May 21st. Questions?
Do we have any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did we provide a hard copy of the proposed changes in the employee break room or someplace where employees have ready access to it?
No, I don't think so.
Send it via email to the union and the union stewards.
So we didn't provide an opportunity for any employee to have a look at it. We just sent it to certain people.
Yeah, that's been the traditional process because as the stewards, then they disseminate the information to who they represent.
No.
Okay, any other further
I
questions?
had one observation on this thing. I'm gonna read this. It's section 2215. Talks about just entertainments and gratuities. So it's 2215.4, no obligation or expectation. The gift or benefit does not create or imply an obligation on the part of the giver or the recipient and is not intended to influence official action. 2215.5, no special treatment, acceptance, or provision of a gift or benefit does not result in, nor is intended to result in, special or favored treatment for any individual or entity.
Was that just an observation?
It's possible that A person can receive a gift or gratuity and it impacts their official actions. And that's prohibited. I thought I'd point that out.
Do we have any other questions or comments? Okay. With that, we are making a motion then to approve. Is that right?
No, to solicit input from the board and come back 2 weeks from today to approve.
Okay, so we are done with that item then if there are no other questions or comments.
I think it might be nice to print out a copy of the proposed language and put it in the break room in case some employee wants to take a look at it.
That's why I didn't opportunity to read it. I'll advise the stewards that they can use district resources to print it out and put it in the break room if that's what they want to do.
Thank you,
Dan. Okay. Okay. With that, we are moving to item 8A, I'm sorry, 8D, which is closed session. So we will be adjourning the regular meeting at 4:41, moving into closed session.
We have had people out of the country previously.
So we're world famous now, John.
Okay, so we are now on item 9, director's comments and requests. Do we have any comments or requests?
I just want to say that the Benedict Castle Concourse, the Elegance Car Show, will be on the 17th. So we're going to see some really nice cars and take a tour of the castle. You know, it costs to get in, but it's a neat car show.
I wanted to thank the staff and everybody here for actually for doing going above and beyond and trying to connect with the community. We've seen the efforts. I'm really proud of the agency and what you guys have been doing. So just wanted to say thank you again for what you
guys. Oh, speaking of which, that just reminded me. Yesterday, there was a camera crew sent out by Western, and I was videoed to talk about this demonstration garden. First time I've ever been on video, so I want to say I'm a star in the But I'm sure they have some Disney movie magic. So once I get the final cut up of it, then I'll send the link to you guys to take a look at.
Yeah, a movie star.
Or you know, I can tell you I am not a movie star.
Director Trago?
No comment.
Director Murphy?
I have two items. Sunday, May 17th, over at Crestmore Park, there's going to be a public works equipment rodeo. That's from 1 to 4. They're going to be demonstrating equipment at 1:45. So if you want to see some local agencies out there with how they're using their backhoes and whatnot, you're welcome to attend.
Where was that at?
Crestmore Park, Sunday, May 17th.
So it's a nice place. Nice place.
So they're going to be using that equipment around 1:45. So.
That's Riverside's public
work. So it's... Arupa Community Services District, City of Arupa Valley, County of Riverside, Riverside County Flood Control. That's people that have equipment that they dig holes in the ground. So if you are concerned about potholes that occur in the road and you want to talk to the guys to deal with those potholes, either making them or fixing them, they'll be out there.
Thank you.
The second item is we're going to be going forward with this RO plant. We have a general area where it is. We're going to have to acquire property. There's a well-known procedure for public entities to acquire property. It's not secret. You get an appraiser to tell you what the different properties cost, and then you can see what your impact is for on whatever it is you got to build, and then you can move forward with acquisition of property through whatever means. You can buy something that's for sale, you can negotiate, or you can condemn. It's a well-established process, and the money amounts are very large. So it would be in the district's financial best interest to accurately document that real estate acquisition.
Thank you. And I just have a couple things. I would like to consider for a future request that maybe we discuss doing something to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the country, maybe similarly to what JARP has done. They have made just a special logo, and on their website, just what does it say? I have it pulled up. But just that they're commemorating, I think.
Celebrating.
Yeah. Celebrating America's 250th anniversary. So it would be a temporary thing, but I think it would be nice since it's the only 250th we'll have in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I'd like to suggest, and maybe you've already thought of it, Mr. Ladislaw, that we provide a certificate of recognition for Israel. Thank him for his duties.
It's a great idea.
That was Leslie's idea. Okay, so with that, if there's no other questions, comments, or suggestions, we will close our meeting at 5 o'clock p.m.
Bid you adieu.
A fine adieu.